Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
That is exactly what I needed to hear.
Thank God someone here knows what they're talking about.
That's us. That's right. Gotta love this American ride.
All right, you need to take the time and get the full picture.
I love the ladies. I mean, they rev my engine, but they don't belong in the newsroom. It is Anchor Man, not Anchor Lady.
What do you want from me? I'm not a married sweetheart.
Goodness sake, Kid. Keep your voice down. Your father's listening to the radio.
I'm not a married sweetheart.
This is the Annie Fry Show.
Well, happy Monday. We are so glad that you are here, and it's a beautiful day outside. This weekend, man, we've seen some ugly stuff this weekend in the news, and I just want to let you know right off the top that as major news details emerge from the shootings that have taken place in California and Buffalo, New York, I believe wasn't there a third one?
I was only aware of the two.
A smaller third one that probably would be a bigger news story if it weren't for the carnage at the grocery store and the events at in the California church. This is what we'd be talking about. I'm not going to go, and this is kind of a practice of mine that I have done. And Brad, you know, you've been listening for a long time, but I don't know how many of these situations that you and I have covered together since you've been here and since September. But there is going to be a lot of noise surrounding.
Oh, yeah.
And we don't know the details. We know some details, and the details are not flattering. But I have the opportunity right now to report on this story and give you the details, or to reflect on the story and give you my opinion. And there's just too much of it in the immediate wake of such a tragedy that I can't, in my good conscience, use my radio show as a platform to explain anything political right now in this moment, immediately after this shooting takes place. The details and the facts of the case will emerge. We'll understand a narrative of who these shooters were, why they did what they did, what influenced them. But all of that becomes fodder for people who are like me in my position behind a microphone with tens of thousands of people listening to what I say right now, to use that as an opportunity to subsidize some point that I might make on any standard Monday afternoon. And I'm not doing it. I am going to talk with Cheryl Atkinson at 12:25. And if you're not familiar with Cheryl Atkinson, I think a lot of you are. She's an investigative journalist. Wasn't she investigated by the FBI? Didn't they tapped all her emails during the Obama administration?
Yeah, I think I don't remember if it was the Obama. Yeah, it had to have been the Obama.
I think it was the Obama administration. She was investigating as journalists were apt to do at the time, and they spied on her.
Yeah. I remember her releasing a video of her in her car explaining that I just got the news that the FBI was tapped into me and spying on me.
She wasn't the only one.
Right.
But she was definitely one of them.
Right.
And she is continued her investigative journalism. And we're going to talk to her about an article she put out and her mode of publication right now is her website, but it's also Full Measure News. It's a show she puts together for Sunday mornings. But it's talking about the different avenues and the different entities and institutions that shape information. And it's not so much that shape the news. It's actually entirely bigger than that. And this incident that took place in Buffalo is a horrific incident by a madman, a mentally ill madman. This incident is another opportunity for people who don't care about solving problems like what took place there. It's an opportunity for them to fortify a point that they would have made that day and that moment, regardless of that event taking place. And to me, that's pretty gross, actually. There'll be time to discuss this as the details come out, like I said, but I just can't seize upon that. I can't take this opportunity to explain to you something about why my conservatism is right or defend against why my conservatism is wrong. I can't. I don't think it's right. Because that is all, if I were to have that conversation with you right now, that would be about me and what I want. That's not about the victims, these innocent people who are at a grocery store, or the innocent people in California who are at church. Me using this as an opportunity to defend my conservatism 48 hours, if even, from the time that these events took place, to use it for my personal gain, I think that's gross. Maybe some of you are out there thinking, no, Annie, this is exactly the time to be talking about it. And I understand that. And, you know, the way this thing works is that's pretty much what's going to be taking place across the board everywhere else. And this is just who I am. And what I want this show to be, because there's plenty to talk about. And as I said, breaking news as it comes through, if there's anything that really drastically changes the course of what you might have heard reported at the news updates at the beginning of every hour on this show, we are still going to have the news updates as they come. Aren't you tired of seeing really terrible, horrific things happen and they just devolve? I was going to say evolve, but the word is devolve. They just devolve into a political slap fight. And it's the same political slap fight that would take place on any given day, regardless of the crisis, the tragedy that is taking place. I think that Americans are so tired of that. I mean, Brad, you can't turn a corner anywhere and escape some sort of attempt at influencing your political viewpoint on something.
No. Everywhere you go, there's somebody there trying to push their agenda, their ideas onto you. And it's like you were saying, it's going to devolve into a political slap fight. It seems to me that these sort of things do that faster and faster and faster and faster. I remember there used to be a time where everybody took time and they mourned the loss of life. It was a big deal. You know, this is a big deal. We shouldn't glaze over the fact that was 10 people lost their lives. That's sad. That's heartbreaking. They just went to the grocery store and they were shot.
And they deserve that minute.
And they do. They deserve that and their families deserve that. And we can take whatever it is that we want to argue about and fight about, and we can push that down the road and we can come together as people and mourn the loss of innocent life.
Yeah. Grimy on our YouTube channel says, why are people using words like mentally ill? He released a 148-page manifesto full of racist rhetoric. This man was a bigoted domestic terrorist. Call it what it is. Well, Grimy, he was a bigoted domestic terrorist, in his own words, in his manifesto. I 100% agree with that. You're not wrong. I say mentally ill because there's documented history of him being looked into his mental health with identification that he had serious concerns, which is why we look at these instances and we go, how does this happen? How does this guy get to that point? And that's an honest conversation that I think that we do need to have. And I want to have it. But there's no way. You know, I suspect that Grimy's comment And this is the reason why I don't like to do this. I suspect that he says, why are people using words like mentally ill? He released a 148-page manifesto full of racist rhetoric. The man was a bigoted domestic terrorist. Call it what it is. I agree with all of his statements in there. We'll talk about the question here in a second. I agree that his manifesto that was released indicates in clear, no uncertain terms that he was a racist, that he was a bigot, and that he is a domestic terrorist. I agree with all of that. What I suspect, and potentially falsely suspect, that Grimey is trying to do is use this as a way to set up a political point that might disagree with mine. So the question is, to somebody like Grimey, is me saying to you, you are exactly right, that is what that man is, do we shake hands and agree upon that and then go to mourn the loss of this life? Or is the next step inevitably, why'd your side do this? And I say, my side didn't do this. Like, that becomes the political argument that I don't want to get into, because it, A, does not solve anything. And B, the thing that you are that is accusatory there, I actually agree with you on that. Like, we actually have a commonality. To look at somebody who's willing to perpetrate something like what this Buffalo shooter did, I think is at Laguna Beach in California in the church, that shooter was doing, and the heroic behavior of the people who were in the church who hogtied that guy, the people in the grocery store who helped that come to an end. If the only goal ever when something like this arises is to make sure that everybody understands why your political party is right, then we are a disgusting excuse for human race. There's no political battle for me to win here. It's almost an instance where the second that we admit that we've all lost already is the only way that we can move forward. And I think it's sad. And I think it's lazy to use this as an instance, the never let a good crisis go to waste mentality. I think it's lazy. I think it's completely and totally inhumane to do that. And I'll tell you what, the right is going to do it as much as the left is going to do it. Today, tomorrow, in the weeks to come, we're not going to learn the names of these victims and have them burned into our memory. We're going to be arguing the standard obvious political points that has every single same crap, different day mentality. And it doesn't make anything better. Grimey follows up on YouTube and said that comment had zero political bias. We have to know what we're up against, and our words have power. I agree. So we agree. And if I were to use that initial comment as an opportunity to read his comment on air and then tee off on him, why would I do that? Well, because I know that I have a large conservative audience, and that they want to hear me dunk on all of the... I'm trying really hard not even to say the political arguments that are come up. We know what they are. I don't need to say them to you for us to know what they are. If I were to use this as an opportunity to tee off on him, I'm actually glad that he said this, because what we have here is a situation where, you know, he's probably tuning into the show waiting for me to say some of the things that maybe I would traditionally say on a conservative talk radio show. And I'm waiting for someone like him to comment, and expecting when I see somebody who maybe dissents with our opinion, and respectfully at that, on occasion, to say what he's going to say. Then we both have our gloves on before we even walk in the room to have that discussion. And we fight and we bicker and then we leave and go to our corners, and then it's the same thing. I'm not here for it today. Maybe the details that emerge between today and tomorrow will change that. I have a lot of thoughts on discussions that have already been had. I have a lot of thoughts on what the administration has done and said. I have a lot of thoughts on things that are in the manifesto, which I have read some of, that have been, you know, put out. I haven't sat down and read the whole thing. I don't know that I can. And by can, I mean, I don't know that I would physically be able to manage that. So an instance comes up. It's politically controversial because what isn't? The soda can that you drink out of is politically controversial. The shoes you put on your feet are politically controversial. The news that you watch is politically controversial. It's all politically controversial. Why? Because we let it be. It's our, we have the ability to choose to make things that way or to choose to prioritize people over politics. Politicians don't do that. The media certainly doesn't do that. We're going to try to do that here. And if I fail, I apologize, but that's the attempt. That's the way we're going to work on this. And we're going to see what we can do about it. I think Cheryl Atkinson is the perfect guest for this time because, you know, while I don't know if we're going to discuss the details of what took place in these horrific events by somebody who was just an absolute disgusting excuse for a human being, we're going to talk about the way that not just the media, but of course the media, works to shape the understanding of what is true and what is not. Works to manipulate facts, not just by changing the facts, but withholding facts and pushing certain kinds of facts. Because I've said this a million times, but slanted journalism that you see on any news network, both sides of the aisle, can very much so be powerfully slanted one way or the other based on story selection. Not just how you report a story, but if you report a story or the frequency with which you report a said story. It's not just the media. There are institutions, in fact, she wrote an article about 10 of them, where they are purposefully influencing what we know to be true. And from an awarded and a lauded investigative journalist, Cheryl Atkinson, we're going to talk with her about how that is coming to be and how maybe we can be better students of everything that is in front of us. Maybe give us a little investigative journalist tips ourselves so that when we're taking in information, we can work to do that in an impartial way so that we can formulate things, opinions that are actually rooted in real information. Cheryl Atkinson is going to be on when we come back. The YouTube live chat poll, would love to have y'all there at the YouTube live chat. You can join Grimey and the rest of the folks there as they're commenting on the show. Doesn't matter where you're coming from. We'd like to hear from you as long as it's respectful. Vote in the live chat poll there. Who has the biggest influence on what is generally accepted to be the truth? Is it corporations, big tech, media, education? Your vote, and give us a comment why in the YouTube live chat. You can stream us on the Odyssey app, folks, all day, every day. Find 97.1 FM Talk. We're right there with you, waiting for you. Back in a minute with Cheryl Atkinson.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Happy that you are here today. A beautiful day in St. Louis, Missouri. Hopefully wherever you are listening from, it's beautiful there as well. And we were talking in the first segment a lot about the horrific events of this weekend, but how it so rapidly evolves into this sharing of details, but more the emphasis of how people who are presenting those details to you want you to consume those details. Nobody out there trusts you to just take the facts and, you know, process them and come up with your own conclusion. Well, not nobody. Maybe people who are just interested in exposing truth, they're okay with it. One of those individuals is Cheryl Atkison, and she is with us today, and we are so grateful to connect with her, an investigative journalist at Full Measure News. You can find her on Twitter at Cheryl Atkinson and online at CherylAtkinson.com. Welcome to the show, Cheryl. Such a great honor to have you here with us today.
Thank you. It's great to be here.
So I was reading through an article on your website that you put together, and it was talking about influences on the way that all of us consume information, and the fact that by the time the information gets to us, there's been a lot of work done to that information to make sure that we consume it in a specific way. You list places like corporations, big tech, media, education, the education system. Talk to me about your job as an investigative journalist and compare it to the way people are consuming that information after it's gone through that process and that machine.
Well, now we are getting, as people know, the version of events that people want us to give, even if it's not true. That's through the shaping of social media, what used to be the news, and so on. And I've written about this in depth in my book, so it's not just conjecture, but you can read more about that in Slanted and the Smear if you like. But let's apply it to the shooting, the racially motivated shooting today, or allegedly racially motivated. A real journalist, playing by the rules that we used to have, would call that an allegedly racially motivated shooting. And instead, they're all, of course, saying this was motivated by hate, although the reporters have no firsthand knowledge. You have to attribute that. And people also know the disparity in how this was reported versus other crimes where, let's say, the tables are turned and perhaps an African-American suspect is responsible for hurting many people who happen to be white. That is almost never reported initially the same way as a racially motivated crime. The speculation isn't there. The photograph is usually withheld. The name is usually withheld for a long time. So I think this is having, you know, my main message now, I hope and think, this type of information shaping is having a backlash because it's so overt now. People recognize it. They don't like it in general. They want to be able to hear the information and make up their own mind. And those who are trying to make it harder typically have a vested interest in getting out one view of the story with the goal in mind of trying to convince people often that they're holding a minority view or that the truth is not the truth. This is what they're trying to convince people of, and they can do that through these methods we've talked about.
You know, you just said a phrase there that I think is kind of key. I want to talk about it. You talked about getting the story out. That's different than getting the truth out. And yeah, I look at the people who are, at least from the media standpoint, who are getting information out as fast as they quickly can, that sometimes, you know, it all of the instances that we're seeing with this shooter, specifically to the Buffalo, New York shooting, do point towards him being racist. In his manifesto, he says that he is. But it's more important, it seems, to the media to create the narrative that this is a story that is only about racism, because that ends up being what is of value to the people who are putting the story out and who are going to politically benefit, you know, through power, if that is the overarching story that is derived from this. And in the midst of that, that leaves out any other factors that might have gone into this individual's terrible behavior, and it also and stops that part of the story from potentially helping society stop it from happening again. And it also, it seems to me like there's no moment of reflection on the people who have actually, the actual true victims of this crime. We just rush so quickly into narrative.
Well, let me just blow your mind a little, and this conjecture is not based on thin air. This is based on experience and documentation in the past. But it used to be, when we had these terrible crimes, whether racially motivated or not, there was usually a lot of talk because there was a consistent pattern among so many where the alleged perpetrators were on some kind of drug for their depression or their disorders. The drugs that have side effects that can be increased violence or suicidal tendencies and so on. And all of a sudden, in the mid-2000s, we quit hearing that after every shooting. And it's not because these suspects are no longer suspects who are mentally ill and taking drugs and that side of sort of thing. I believe the pharmaceutical industry and their interests have had a big role in making sure this is not what we talk about after a shooting in the initial days, through contacts with police and family members and so on, to push that to the background and focusing on hate rather than the mental disorders and other things at play, and perhaps even pharmaceuticals. Well, that pushes us past looking at what could be a real root of a problem in many cases. That's just one example of why narratives are put into place beyond the obvious reasons that you think of.
You know, that's so important to highlight and to talk about, because what that indicates is that this is a complex issue. It's often boiled down in the way people consume information in this specific story, but in many others as well. It's boiled down so that, oh, you know, this story, that one was about racism, and that story, that one was about sexism or homophobia or whatever the issue is, because they want to attach the tragedy to a cause. And it's actually possible that this story is very much about racism, but it is also about some sort of medication issue or a mental health issue or some sort of, family, the way he was raised issue. I don't know what his background is, but there are a lot of things that go into any one of these individual tragedies. And when it gets put into the hands of the storytellers and they get to make of it what they want, then something like that pharmaceutical tie-in, if it's not investigated, it's never going to get fixed.
Well, you know, in every major city I've been shooting stories in the past few years, they're grappling with a problem of homelessness, mental illness, legal and illegal drug use, and crime. And they all seem to be intertwined in ways no one is addressing holistically. Same with all of this violence. If you haven't noticed, there is a huge mental illness disorder among many young people, not just isolated to young people and drug users, but among that population for sure. But by normalizing their behavior or protecting their behavior or not talking about it in those terms, it keeps us from addressing these issues that could be happening at a societal level, what kind of damage we're doing, what's causing environmentally so much of the mental illness and the problems that we have today. It's easier to just say, oh, someone hated somebody. And I don't think that goes anywhere towards solving a problem, because you can't talk to a kid like that and say, don't hate. Or, you know, put him in a program. I don't even know what you think you could do. I think it's a much tougher issue, and it's a diversion to simply talk about it in the terms we often do.
We're speaking with Cheryl Atkison. You can learn more about her at CherylAtkison.com, as well as her book, Slanted. I want to ask you to talk to me a little bit more about the institutions outside of the media that really do factor into how we consume information. And like I said earlier, a few of them that you list, corporations, big tech, and also the education system. How are all these other institutions working together or independently to make sure that American consumers especially understand the world the way they want it to be understood?
Well, it's that these institutions have been co-opted by the same political and corporate interests that understand how to pull strings there by getting their people employed in the institutions or understanding how to influence them externally, which, again, I've talked about in my books and documented quite well. But let's look at a couple examples you may not think about. In the Johnny Depp trial, the allegation is that his former wife, Amber Heard, defamed him in an op-ed that she wrote. We've learned in the trial that the op-ed was written by the ACLU, the American Civil Liberties Union, and Amber Heard signed it. This is how most op-eds are written today, and I don't think people know it, that people are paid to sign it, that didn't write it. They're approached by groups to sign off on something to get it published. The publications know and understand it, but don't disclose. It doesn't seem to bother them. So that's just one way in which the powerful interests influence you in a way you're not supposed to know that they're working behind the scenes. Another one you may not think of because it's less obvious, the Federal Register is a place that takes public comments on rule changes prior to them going into place. And I interviewed for my book some of the people that are paid to go online. I don't know anyone who's ever published their own just grassroots comment on a rule change by the federal government, but people are paid to go on there and pretend they're ordinary people and make comments for or against a rule that their paid interests want or don't want to have instituted. So that's another way in which behind the scenes strings are being pulled.
We're speaking with Cheryl Atkinson. Her book is Slanted, How the News Media Taught Us to Love Censorship and Hate Journalism. Do you believe that people are starting to wake up to how processed information is right now?
I do, and they may not be thinking two or three layers deep, but it almost doesn't matter. They're starting to think about it. And I believe that's because the information shapers, they overplayed their hand, really starting in 2016 with what they did, both Democrats, Republicans, and the corporate interests that didn't want Donald Trump in office. They did things that were so blatant that even people who don't necessarily support Donald Trump saw the unfairness or the inaccuracy of information. Then fast forward to COVID, and I think that was a big eye-opener for people who previously, of course, supported our public health agencies and thought they would get the truth from them. So I think it's just been so blatant and so in your face that it's turned activists out of people that weren't really activist-minded, but they more see what's happening because it's not even under the cover anymore.
Well, we appreciate what you're doing. And you know, people who are just interested in finding the truth and exposing it is a lost art in this country. And you've committed yourself to it. And our listeners are commenting right now about how much they appreciate what you're doing and how much they enjoy you. And thank you for being on the show with us today. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thank you for having me.
All right. We'll do it again. I appreciate it. Cheryl Atkinson, investigative journalist. You can learn more about the show she does each week. It's at Full Measure News. You can find her on Twitter at Full Measure News, but also just at Cheryl Atkinson. Go tell her thank you for being on the show with us today, if you enjoyed that, of course. And I'm going to share the link to her book right now on the live chat, and we'll put it up there with this when we put it up on the podcast. Reminder, you can get this show on podcast wherever you get your podcasts. We are now on Spotify, which was exciting to hear that news. So if you are a Spotify podcast user, go find the Annie Fry Show and subscribe to that and listen to us when you miss it, because we are 24 hours a day in that capacity, streaming on the Odyssey app as well, 24 hours. You can rewind the show, the station, up to 24 hours prior, which is pretty cool. Wiggins America, when we come back, Ryan's going to come in here and talk to us about those two, you know, famous enemies, Joe Biden and Jeff Bezos. That's new. This weekend produced some weird stories, and this is one of them, and I don't know all the details about it. I read the headlines, but Ryan's going to tell us about it in Wiggins America here in just a minute. Go vote in that YouTube live chat poll. We'll be back. Don't go away.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This is the Annie Fry Show. Follow Annie on Twitter at Annie Fry Show.
Welcome back to the Annie Fry Show. Did you hear this weekend that Elon Musk found out that the sample of bot accounts to determine how many bot accounts there are on Twitter, they used a sample of 100 different accounts. That's crazy.
Wow.
And they figured it to be about 5% from a sample of 100. Because you know that if they're sampling 100 accounts, that they're really concerned about factual reporting.
Yeah.
And on top of that, Elon Musk said it could be as high as 90%. That's crazy. If think about that for a second. If he's paying $54 a share for something that is only 10% real, think he's going to rework that deal a little bit? I sure do. Well, Elon Musk's arch nemesis, Jeff Bezos, just because they like to compare stacks of poker chips at the table, Jeff Bezos has now started a Twitter, or not a Twitter, what is Twitter? It was Twitter.
Yeah, it is on Twitter.
A Twitter spat with none other than the President of the United States.
Wiggins! Oh! Wiggins!
And I've only read the headlines on this. It seemed funny, but I didn't get into the details because I was at a baseball tournament all weekend. So, Ryan, tell us, what's Jeff Bezos' beef with Joe Biden, other than the fact that Joe Biden thinks he deserves 60, 70% of his money?
He does, yeah. Joe Biden thinks he deserves more of Jeff Bezos' money, for sure.
You didn't build that? Oh, actually, I did build Amazon.
That's right.
In my garage.
You know what's interesting is between Bezos and Elon Musk, I think Bezos actually has more cash on hand, so he would be able to accomplish more quickly.
Yeah, it's my cash.
Yeah, exactly.
It's the stupid stuff I keep buying on Amazon.
But this is an interesting story simply because we're talking about two people that, I don't know, the perception would be that they're on the same side. You know, you're talking about Joe Biden, you're talking about socialist America.
Isn't it like right now it's, there's conservatism and then there's the enemy of my enemy is my friend. So it's like conservatism and then it's everybody else. But you're, if you're on the conservative side, you're looking at these people and you're going, you guys do not agree with each other on most things.
Which is why this is so fascinating.
Yeah,
because
to your point.
Think that these guys are maybe not in lockstep, but they're at least moving in the same direction. And then all of a sudden, you know, and this wasn't instigated by Joe Biden. This was Jeff Bezos responding and saying, wait now. So it started on it was the end of last week. Joe Biden, from his official Joe Biden Twitter account, says, you want to bring down inflation? Make sure the wealthiest corporations pay their fair share. Jeff Bezos responded same day. And this is, I looked through his Twitter history. This is not really indicative of what he usually does. It's not that he will say things that are completely apolitical, but most of it's business-oriented. It's kind of generic, inspirational quotes.
Just what everybody's on Twitter for. Inspiration from Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, exactly.
You guys, if you're having a bad day, tomorrow's going to be a better one.
Yeah.
See if you're a bazillionaire.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
If you're not, I don't even know what that's like.
Tomorrow, just get a new yacht.
Yeah. From Amazon.
But Jeff Bezos says to that tweet from Joe Biden, he says, this is like all in, right? The newly created disinformation board should review this tweet. Or maybe they need to form a new non sequitur board instead. Raising corporate taxes is fine to discuss. Taming inflation is critical to discuss. Mushing them together is just misdirection. In fact, and he goes on this a couple days later, he follows up on it because a lot of people comment on this. He says, in fact, the administration tried hard to inject even more stimulus into an already overheated inflationary economy, and only Manchin saved them from themselves.
That's the tweet I saw.
Somebody should have been saying something. Somebody should have said something earlier so we didn't do all of this. That's crazy.
Right. He says, inflation is a regressive tax that most hurts the least affluent. Misdirection doesn't help the country.
In my mind, we're in a big banquet room, and everybody drops their champagne glass like,
exactly.
And then there's silence, and everyone's looking at Jeff Bezos like, you're not supposed to say that out loud.
Right.
We talk about that in the back room.
There's a shrimp hanging out of somebody's mouth. They don't know what to do.
Ryan takes the shrimp and eats it.
I take just the part that's in the tail.
You gonna finish that?
Preserve. Yeah. Here's what's crazy.
No? Okay, I'll take it.
So we were talking about before show, I think I'm going to talk about this Bezos thing, you know, for my segment. You guys are like, yeah, that sounds good. Since the show started, there's more developed on this story.
Oh, yeah, this just did.
The White House put out a statement about 30 minutes ago.
Seems like a bad idea because obliviousness is where the Biden administration should live.
Yeah. Like, well,
it's
yeah, well,
the
whatever.
Most believable explanation.
Right.
Like, oh, I had no idea.
They really like this guy named Brandon.
Yeah.
this was enough of a story that the White House put out a statement within the last 30 minutes. It says it doesn't require a huge leap to figure out why one of the wealthiest individuals on earth opposes an economic agenda for the middle class that cuts some of the biggest costs families face, fights inflation for the long haul, and adds to the historic deficit reduction the president is achieving by asking the richest taxpayers and corporations to pay their fair share. Now, Bezos responded to that already also. He says, look, a squirrel.
This is Elon Musk is like, which of you is a bot? It's got to be the explanation for this. These aren't real people having these discussions.
Yeah. Yeah, no, Bezos, I mean, this is a full-on, like, fight between the White House and Jeff Bezos.
Yeah, public.
Yeah. Look, a squirrel. This is the White House's statement about my recent tweets. They understandably want to muddy the topic. They know inflation hurts the neediest the most, but unions aren't causing inflation, and neither are wealthy people. Remember, the administration tried their best to add another $5.3 trillion to federal spending. They failed. But if they had succeeded, inflation would be even higher than it is today. And inflation is today at a 40-year high. He's just bringing it right back to the point, which is you guys are not addressing inflation.
And interestingly enough, nothing that he said is about what political party would be better. Mm-hmm. It's not to say that he's not there saying, I don't vote Democrat, or I vote Trump Republican, or I would vote for Liz Cheney for president or something like that. He's not saying any of that. He's just stating things that are factually true.
Yes.
And they're not reflective of success from this administration.
What's funny is that what they're responding in is political speak. They're just mm-hmm. saying, well, economically, we're looking out for the little guy and blah, blah, blah. Mm-hmm. And, you know, some of that in there is actual policy stuff, but most of it's just a bunch of nonsense-y kind of words. He's just keeps saying over and over, look, you guys are causing inflation. I'm so glad to hear that these two people, like we said at the beginning of the segment here, these are two people that should be, at least publicly, they look like they're on the same side. This is Jeff Bezos taking a step away from what may be politically advantageous to him and saying, this inflation is killing everybody. You've got to do something about it.
I think it's interesting. And I don't think it's the first crack in the system. I think we've seen the cracks. They have been splintering. And, you know, Kilmeade said right before we came on the show, he played a clip from Bill Maher. And he goes, what's the deal? I'm agreeing with this guy every week.
Yep.
And it's true. He's saying things and pushing back. The Netflix story that we did last week about how Netflix came out and was like, if you don't like what we do at Netflix, leave. Where's that been?
Yeah.
And how much, like, where has it been? But I, maybe even forget about saying, where's it been? Thank God it's here. And follow suit, Disney. Just going to say, just going to put that out there. Get your act together. Make me so mad. People ask me all the time, like, what you think about Annie. You think that you think Disney's not as bad as, I'm like, no, it's terrible. They're making terrible business decisions and it's costing them greatly. I haven't looked at the stock price lately.
It's hovering around 100. Has it gotten there yet?
It's 106.
Oh, that's
the lowest I've seen it is 103.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I know
overall
I'm
that's
it
way down from where it was.
Oh,
right?
Drastically, it was just within the last month, April 19th, 131. I mean, the whole stock, like you folks, I understand the whole stock market has gone down, but the last 6 months, in January it was 158.
Disney's,
it's 106 right now. So
Disney
that's a 30.
Started dropping before the stock market
yes,
started dropping, though.
It absolutely did. And it is not in a good place. Who has the biggest influence on what is generally accepted to be true? Corporations, big tech, media, the education system. Go vote on our YouTube live chat. Stephen Moore in the next segment, and Illinois governor candidates as well. Don't go away.
Get more at 971talk.com.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Odyssey is giving you a chance to win a trip to London to see Taylor Swift at the Eras Tour. It's Tay in the UK.
Hey, it's Taylor.
Just download the free Odyssey app, log in and listen to a participating station for a minimum of 60 minutes to get your daily entry. And you could win a chance to fly off to London with three friends and see Taylor.
I can't wait to see you at the Eras Tour in London.
For more, go to odyssey.com/Taylor.
Tay in the UK.
It's on the Odyssey app. Thanks to Republic Records. This is a national contest.